Where are you, Dana, and what you been doing since we last talked?
I come home for 2 weeks, and it seemed like I never left. Waiting for the weather to break, and then I'm going to head up out of here. We got the button all, I got the boat all buttoned up for the winter. We got a lot of radiation coming in with these storms.
What kind of readings are you getting?
Well, they're getting 60 and 65, everything just here where I'm too, and everything over 50 is considered an abnormality. It counts per minute, and that's cesium. Now, of course, wherever there's cesium, all the other elements, that's the problem. Whenever you see one of these elements, you've got to assume everything else has to be right there, and how can it not be there anyway?
Well, there are at least 200 other ones that people aren't even talking about. They don't mention them.
Right, and there's so many that are locked up because of the different countries got secrecy laws and don't want the governments, other countries, to know what kind of isotopes they're playing with. And it's just so wrong what they got done to us and what they done to that Pacific Ocean. I was reading Yoshi's article, Patient Zero. My goodness. And he talks just as eloquent as he writes.
I know.
Takes a lifetime to be something like that, folks. That's really something. That takes an amazing amount of skill to have.
I don't know how I did it. I put out one of the first books on HIV/AIDS in 1991, and everything in it was, it all came to pass. I didn't have the data that he has, but I had the basics down there. He has done a magnificent job in that article. No question it was bio-warfare. None. Zero. None at all.
I didn't know that, Jeff. Yeah. Oh, good one, man. It's, like you said, that earthquake they had down in Japan. Every time they have an earthquake and you get these melted coriums sunk down, no one knows where to go or what they're doing. But nobody melted down. Likely it never stopped. And so every time you have an earthquake or a tremor in that area, of course, stuff will fall down and that'll get atomized in aerosol. And these are radioactive atoms just on their own.
Exactly.
But that's never stopping. That'll never stop. I mean, like that site, it can accumulate something like 4 to 5 million gallons a day of rainwater when it rains. It's a big site. And so for cubic feet, I mean, that's a lot of water washing a lot of fissionable products down into the ground. A lot of people don't understand that part of it, how, and you covered it just earlier, like they're burning it on top of this in the incinerators all over the country. They're taking it from other prefectures that are decontaminating, so to speak, where they dig up to 6 inches of topsoil, if they're lucky, and then they grind it up and burn it somewhere else. And
how can it be, Dana, that not one country on the surface of this planet is bitching about the Japanese irradiating the entire northern hemisphere just with their incineration?
You know, and I was thinking about that when Yoshi was talking earlier, how maniacal is what they're doing, the government is doing, and how it just doesn't make sense to them. You can't blame them for saying those words. And it struck me, you know, they have to save the nuclear industry, and so they got to bite the cancer bullet through the entire country rather than have the nuclear industry be shamed.
I know.
So, I mean, it's really true what's going on. Rather than get a black eye and admit to and say, okay, well, yeah, you know, we kind of went too far this time. No, they'll kill off that entire country. They already have. 60,000 square miles of that country is highly contaminated, 30,000 becquerels a square meter. That's where your children will stand up and wait for your bus, folks. And that whole country, but I covered it. I got the headlines from one end right to the other end. You know, even on the other end of it, as far as, you know, where the prevailing winds are coming from, it's still extremely contaminated, 50,000 becquerels in a square meter all over the place, and then they're taking and dumping it into the rivers at nighttime in other prefectures, and they're dumping it directly into the ocean, what they're cleaning up, and they're dumping the heavy silks and stuff in that from the site. We don't even really know if they got anybody on the site, and, you know, that's easy to speculate because we can't, they got that secrecy law that you guys were talking about earlier, and so you couldn't even report on it if they didn't have just that skeleton crew of homeless, because they're probably running out of them down there. And if folks are not familiar, what we're doing with the Expedition for Life, you can look at the nuclear proctologist. We're going out and looking for life on the coastline of British Columbia, and we were looking originally expecting We might find some damage or materials from the tsunami or damage from radiation fallout. What we discovered was that there's about 1% to 1% of the marine species in the nursery, the tidal pools, the coastline itself, the most important part of the ocean, left in British Columbia, one of the most amazing places imaginable just a few years ago, doesn't even have shells on its coastline anymore, and the rocks are naked. And when there should be close to 10,000 species on the coastline have already been identified.
Dana, what does that tell us when there's no detritus, no remains, no residual, there's no evidence of a mass kill-off? Does that mean it's been going on for 2-3 years, enough time for the ocean to have cleansed itself, at least in terms of debris?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And so the ocean, of course, rolls off the coastline, and unless it's got lots of shells and everything else to replenish it, it'll disappear. Now, I never conceived that that could happen because I've been on around 4,000 of those islands up there, and I dove this coastline for many, many years. And there's actually... underwater, when you're diving down there, right under the islands themselves, it could drop down 50 or 60 feet down to the level on the floor for a bit. And that was a favorite haunt of mine. And the walls, many, many times, are completely made of shells of oysters and abalones and clams and razorbacks.
Well, what could cause these calcium... These shells are calcium, basically, aren't they?
Right.
What could cause them to completely disintegrate like that and be gone?
And shells, they'll gather up pollutants, too, on top of that. You can take a scallop shell and put it in your fish tank, and it'll keep your fish tank clean. It'll gather up that water. It won't take the poop or nothing, but it'll keep that water clean. It'll keep your tank clean.
Uh-huh.
That's how a shell works. It's really fascinating what they can do with something like that.
We lost Yoshi. We'll get him back. Okay, we're going to take a break. Dana, hold on, please. We have to pause just for a couple of minutes, and we'll come right back. Hopefully with Yoshi, as we continue our weekly report on Fukushima for you. Dana about ready to head back out on his voyage, and we will report to you as he makes his way up the British Columbia coast toward Alaska. Back in just a few. Okay, and talking to Dana Durnford, who is... I just can't even imagine going out in a 24-foot Zodiac, whether it has a weather cabin on it or not. You sent me that video of you out there in that sea, and it is not a peaceful, tranquil part of the peaceful, tranquil Pacific.
The idea is you can tie onto a tree and spend the night.
I guess. Yoshi, are you back?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I got cut off just briefly, not long, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting that Dana found a bit more radiation out there. It's alarming, but expected, unfortunately. And sign of things to come, too. I mean, this is not getting any better. It's just worsening. But it's good to hear that Dana's plugging along there. I mean, it's been a remarkable, we call it an odyssey. It is an odyssey by sea and this winter storm. Amazing.
Well,
okay.
We're just going to go up the coastline again. Yoshi, you should come up there in the spring. I'll still be up there in the spring and come and see it yourself.
To meet you on the Alaskan border. The Alaskan border would be very interesting because, you know...
Yeah, that'd be an excellent. Maybe
we get up there.
You never know. And I'm headed that way, that's for sure, all the way. Right now I'm just going to leave Saturday, and it's an 850-kilometer trip up to the Charlottes. And the Charlottes don't have any industry up there.
Great.
That's up north, and then spend about 30 days there. Tomorrow we're going to go to the sea trial. Yeah, it's going to be really good. And the whole operation now is a very highball operation. And the idea is you're small enough you can get into the rock piles, and you're the right configuration that if you do land on a rock, you just wait for the next wave to pick you back up. And that one's got a Kevlar bottom on it, and so it doesn't matter as long as you get the motor out of the water. But I got a kicker to shove down in the worst-case scenario. And I say that because with 26,000 islands, there's a couple of million rocks there, and a lot of them are not charted. And you got to have a sixth sense and you really got to have the experience. And probably nobody will ever walk on any places that I will walk on, so to speak, per se. I'm going to use a clothesline system to pull the boat offshore, and I have a stool and the cameras. And this time we'll be getting the samples, and we got to get someone to take the samples.
Are you going by yourself this time?
Yeah, it's better that way because I'm focused 100% on getting this job. And when you got a whole bunch of people with you, you got to accommodate everything about them all the time. Not that I mind having them, don't get me wrong. But when you're by yourself, you can just stay there overnight and then get up and still hit the beach again and get more data the next day.
Yeah.
If you want in that area without wasting the time and energy and effort. And the system that I got set there is extremely comfortable. I got the generators. I got the computers on it. I've got a nice cot on it. It's very comfortable, very dry. I got 170 hours of heat on it, 24 hours a day. That's 7.5 days straight of heat. I'll never use something like that. And I know this coastline really well. I've been on about 4,000 of these islands, even though that was quite a long time ago. And, you know, an interesting fact was I got injured as a commercial diver, 128 days diving, 6 hours a day on the ocean floor, March 11th, 2001 was the day I got injured. And so Fukushima, March 11th, 2011 was an interesting one for me.
Mm.
And the fact that I grabbed onto it without that, you know, part of it, so to speak, but when you look at it right now, I'm the perfect guy for the job. I'll get that job done. I'll get the data from the best spot possible. If there's going to be life there, I will find it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, you're right. There's no one more qualified, no one more intimately familiar with the area. You're the guy. And
I'm lucky enough to be that guy and have this other side to me of the nuclear industry and understand the significance and be able to carry through. And I'm in that position right now. We're geared up. Going to do a money bomb, of course, to pay for this, because everybody, this is crowdfunded. This is all about the hounds, and that's the people that are concerned about Fukushima and want the data. And the data is at the nuclearproctologist.org. And the idea is hopefully people can take it and use it to convince other people that there is an issue and that they need to go further down that rabbit hole. And like Yoshi said, you know, they had that earthquake there, and it picks things up and it breaks things. And if they shook anything down there, there's more releases than normal coming out of there. And there's nothing good about it being normal, but it is normal for a constant ongoing release. And, of course, that's why you and Yoshi, and I can never pronounce your name properly, and I apologize for that, but that's why you guys have been hammering this now for 3.5 years, and you don't miss a beat. That's the beauty of it. No kidding. It's so rare that point someone like yourselves out there, and I don't know if people really appreciate it, but I can't find an honest journalist out there. I really can't. And Jeff and Mr. Chiracho, they try their best, and they don't leave nothing naked there. They explain it to you, and that's what you needed. And right now there's a big following going on out there, and I think that this is my third run at the coastline. I think this one will work a lot better. And I think the followings are going to start growing. I'm out there. You guys are in here. I'll have to listen to it after, I guess. But it's going to be hard to get hold of me out there, Jeff. And
Will you be out of range? You'll be out of range pretty much?
I'll be out of range most of the time. I am trying to get in there for Monday nights and get an update for everybody to your show, because that's a really reliable way to do it for me.
Well,
there's a lot of little communities. You should be able to get the signal in those communities, Metacatla. And there's a bunch of these little spots up there, Shearwater and Bella Bella and Clem 2, that I probably will get a single out of. And so I'll try it. And if I can get the single, then I'll get that single. At the same time, I'll engage the communities and then try to set up a presentation and come back and do that later. So it'll be nonstop work.
Yeah. All right. When do you think you're going to take off again then?
This Saturday.
Okay.
I was going to leave in a couple of days, yesterday, but the weather's not holding. It's a really rough day today.
Yeah, it's not.
And just want to wait for the weather and then head off.
All right. Okay, Dana, you be careful. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
We can get hold of you, we'll do our best.
You betcha.
All right, you take care.
All right, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care, folks. Right. Yeah, you too now. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, Yoshi, he's going to take off next Saturday and by himself. Yeah, I just, that's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, he's a brave fella. That's wintertime temperatures. That's not easy. Definitely not easy. I mean, he is a mariner. He's a sea guy. He's a diver.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing, but still, it is quite remarkable. And I hope people really understand, you know, the enormous amount of time, planning, money, and just sheer effort he's put in negotiating that coast. And he's still apparently going to go north. That's great. Amazing. It's,
you know,
unknown territory for the rest of us. You know? Unknown territory. Terra incognita.
Exactly. For the people who don't know, he was injured, and he is he's got leg braces and crutches, and for an able-bodied seaman to try to do this would be phenomenal. And here he's doing it under those conditions. I mean, that just goes beyond concern for self. He's concerned for all of us, and he is one brave man. I just salute him, and just it's extraordinary.
Yep. We wish him well on that journey. Well, you know, the other thing is we appreciate this show, you know, just going on week after week. You know, there are these quieter weeks, like, well, today, you know, yesterday we had the earthquake, but I'm talking about just holding things together until people do wake up, and that's important. You know, I think people are going to wake up. It's going to take some time.
Absolutely, it's going to take time. I think... I don't know how long we've been together doing this. 3 years now, at least, huh? We've passed 3 years.
Since a month after. And writing just right after Fukushima, and radio just a month after the event. So it's been a while. We're going to be going into the fourth year in March. This is going to be, I think, a significant year ahead, because I think people in Japan are realizing they've got to act now. There's just no way this thing's going to go away. Things are getting worse. I think once people in the Midwest begin to get out their dosimeters and realize that this is just a really second...
They've got to check. I think we just lost him again. But if you have dosimeters in the Midwest, please take readings. Keep your eye on the storms. Check your downspouts where they come off your roof after you've had a melt-off, if you've had snow, if you've had rain. Check there. That's where you'll find the concentration to be the highest. Also, check your normal soil levels. Put a plastic bag over you if you have an Inspector Plus, whatever it is, so you don't contaminate the Geiger-Müller tube. But do it. Keep records. And if you want to join our little radiation network, I think David wouldn't mind if we had somebody in the upper Midwest, certainly, maybe even in Canada, because that's where these storms are coming down into the U.S. from. And you heard earlier that some of the reports are quite clearly indicative of more radiation. All right, that's our program tonight.